I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Siakam the slam!
CJ the brand!
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Strictly Hoops with CJ Miles. Rate, review, subscribe to the podcast feed. That's all of that. Raptors over everything. And then on YouTube, like, subscribe there as well.
Press every button.
Every single one.
Every button every that got anything to do with this show, you press it and you will be rewarded by our genius talk.
Sometimes pressing buttons can be bad. Pressing the buttons of a person. However, in this case, it is a good idea.
It is a very good idea.
How we doing?
I'm great, man. I'm doing good. You know, got the workout in, you know.
Yeah.
Can't complain.
4 a.m. I'm going to work out after this podcast. That's my idea because I'm more of a 4 p.m. as opposed to.
Here you go. I'm an early bird, so I get it.
Yeah.
Today was decent, though. 9:45. That's humanly. That's not psychotic.
Yeah.
Everybody human. Likes to. People think I'm crazy, but that's not psychotic.
They call you psychotic?
Some people have, you know.
Yeah.
Some people have. But I've been called a lot of things. Not all of them true.
I'm sure you
Not all of them true. Player. Not all of them true. Some of them slightly true. Some of them I used to be. Some of them I'm not yet, but you know, it is what it is.
Calling someone psychotic seems like a bit of a low blow. That's like a different level of disrespect to me.
I take it as it definitely seems like crazy because you can't do it. That's what I take it as. Like, you know what I mean? You calling me psychotic is just because your brain has not reached the thought space that I'm in.
You're wired differently. That's the way to take it.
That's the way I take it. And then I think you're crazy for not thinking this way. So we both in the same boat. My boat's just moving faster.
Away, and you both walk away thinking you're right.
Yeah, exactly. So everybody's good. Ego's still intact.
Okay. So the Raptors, we know where they're at right now. They got six games remaining. They're about to start this 5-game road trip. We are recording on Thursday. They play the 76ers tomorrow. Then it's a 5-game road trip. Then they finish out the season against the Milwaukee Bucks, who I would assume will be resting most of their players. So all these games at this point, they matter quite a bit. And I thought with CJ, you know, with his experience, 17 years in the NBA, right? 17.
Yeah, it was 16, and then I did the 10-day, so I was in it for 17.
No, 17.
Yeah.
We're going to say 17.
Yeah, you don't take 17. Yeah.
17 years in the NBA, you've seen some SHIT, and you probably know that, you know, when teams are gearing up for the playoffs, whether, I mean, the plane wasn't around when you were around, but there is a bit of you're starting to climb now. You want to know what your identity is, and you're looking at these last few games in a different way than probably you did the previous one. So with that in mind, I want to get your take on what teams are doing a little bit differently than maybe they were doing earlier on in the season just to get themselves perfect for playoff time.
The biggest thing is rotations. Like, you start shortening them, you start sharpening them. I know the Raptors, the starters play a lot already, and you start, but like, you start trying to figure out, you know, how we really tighten this thing up, who we can really lean on. And then you try to get them even more reps to prepare them for the playoffs, because it's going to be 8 guys, maybe 9. Sometimes it's going to be 7. So, one, I got to get these guys in even better game shape because the rotations are going to shorten. So, I need to get them a little bit more minutes. I don't want to run them into the ground, but I need to pick a space now where I can start getting them ready. So then that, you know, if we know where we're going to be, I can rest them a little bit at the end of the season, right before the playoffs. But right now, we got to really – tighten this thing up and push. And as far as strategic wise, we're looking at different things we can try and use. Maybe if there's some new plays we want to add some wrinkles to, we start adding them. I know that's Nick is, you know, he's the tinker master. So anything he can add, he starts kind of like introducing that type stuff and putting out a little bit to see how it works against defenses. Same thing on the defensive side, start playing around with little things, especially when you start looking at who we might be matched up with in the playoffs. So it's better to get practice at it live in a game than a scripting it, because scripting is fine and I put it on your mind, but if you know what's coming, then it's kind of hard. So if I put it in a game setting where the team has got to react and it's not my own players, it's a little better practice, if you say.
Yeah.
But and then like the other thing is just really getting the bodies ready, getting guys really understanding what we're pushing towards, the intentions on everybody. Like the intentional part is the biggest part. Everybody's role is intentional. What we're trying to do has to be intentional. We have to know what we want. What is the goal? Now we can make intentional decisions.
Sure. For the Raptors, like they have to, you know, get to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And so each of these games now is its own little playoff in a way. Does that, how does that change how a team, a coach would approach it? Like, cause you don't want to, I mean, or maybe you do want to empty the bucket in each game just to try and get that W. Mm-hmm. Like the 76ers game coming up, like, you know, Nick would try a lot of things, but I mean, how much do you go into that when that could be your first round matchup? 76ers.
The sense of urgency has got to be great, because if that can be the first round matchup, you definitely want to win the game.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely want to put it on your mind that if when you see us,
yeah,
and you got to see us for these seven games, that it's not going to be, you're not going to roll in there with this ultimate confidence.
Sure.
You're going to put some fear in you. So now the pressure's on you. It's not on us. The road we had to do to get here, we everything's, you know, we just living. We just playing hard, you know?
Yeah.
But that's the, also the blessing of the situation the Raptors are in, is that our switch is on already.
That's like, important. We've seen that before.
Yeah, my switch. So now I hit the playoffs running.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those teams that's trying to get, that has to get ready for the playoffs when the playoffs start. Like, guys have been resting and you've been trying to save them. You're trying to, I know that's good too in a way, but like when we hit this thing running and we in a groove and we didn't have, we have been sitting down for a week and a half before that first game in the playoffs and all of that.
Sure.
Like, that's different. Like, I'm in a state of flow that can carry into this where it don't matter and it's dangerous.
Hmm.
Now I'm addicted to that feeling. Like, I'm in such a place where it's like, this is the only way I know how to do it right now.
Yeah. Only 150. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Raptors now, I mean, they're at this spot, unfortunately, because of their own actions, because of their own losses, but you feel good about, you know, what they are right now and what they could be next season. And there's going to be some obviously huge decisions on the front office side of things, but you know, now with this team, the starting lineup, I mean, I think they're like a plus 13 point differential this season when since Yak got there. And that's obviously a great number. But, you know, as a team that, especially going into a play-in situation or even, you know, a playoff round, hopefully they get there, you still know the flaws of the team. That still is three-point shooting. And even the game the other day where, you know, they were dealing with the Miami Heat and they played really well. I mean, that was one of the, like, the best games I've seen the Raptors play, like, from top to bottom. Granted, Jimmy's not there, but the attention to detail and the pace that they played with and the decisiveness, which you've talked about a lot, is like are some of the keys to being a good team. That was there, but the 3-point shooting still wasn't. And, you know, Gary's not there. That's obviously, you know, part of this, but I mean, how do you master that? Right. Because like against the Miami Heat, it was easier. I mean, they're playing a lot of zone and the Raptors were simply taller than almost every single person on the court. And they're just throwing that ball around. No problem.
Project 6'9".
Short passes, and I'm not sure what the Miami Heat are doing, man, but their team, honestly.
Yeah, I don't,
it's very strange. But, you know, against some bigger teams, right, like those passes and those angles aren't going to be the same. They're going to be harder. And the attention to detail is going to be better with some of the other teams, and they're going to have, you know, better rim protection. Like, as soon as you get Bam away from the basket, that basket's open with the Miami Heat.
It's a layup line.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of a difficult question to answer. I mean, but I mean, that's probably something that the Raptors are thinking about.
Yeah. So, no, it's just you approach every game like you did that one. Like, yeah, it's going to be harder, but then it's like, okay, what's the weakness of this next team?
Yeah.
And we attack it. So, like, we knew we had the size advantage. We get Bam away from the rim and we attack the rim with him on the perimeter.
Yeah.
The next team might have a great rim protector, but they're not good with the screen and roll. They're not good at off-ball screens. They try to switch a lot of things. You might be able to slip. There's gaps. Whatever. It's a lot of film, and it's intention, like I was saying. Like, now, like, especially my starters, like my main guys, they're in shape. They got rhythm. They know where their shots is coming from. There's a little bit of changes since y'all get there, but we know all that. Yeah. Let's be intentional about how we use that. We know what the weapons are. We know what guys can do and do well. Now, we had the whole season to figure this out. Even if a guy is struggling a little bit, we know what he does well still. It's going to come around. Like, that's why, like, I talked about it before. When I was that first year I was in Toronto, going into the playoffs, I was in, like, a little bit of a a rut. I was in a slump, they like to call it.
But you weren't. And
exactly. This is what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, we still know what I do. So we're going to approach it and we're going to use it. Mm-hmm. And when it's time, you're going to do what you're supposed to do if you prepare, if you're preparing yourself. And that's, I went into the playoffs, no problem shooting the ball when I got in the playoffs. Like, that's just what's, that was just what was happening at that time. Like, I wasn't worried about that. So that's the way we got to approach it. Like, let's, I don't want to speak nobody's name and go into a slump right now, but let's just say somebody on another team is having a slump. We still treat them. We still remind them what they do, and we get them opportunities to get their confidence in these spots so they can see it and visualize it. That's all that matters. We put them in position.
What we're going to do with CJ now is he's going to help me. I mean, you've heard this podcast, you've been listening to it, so you know how much we've talked about roles and the level of acceptance required to be successful within a team construct. And since the Jakob Poeltl trade, I think it's fair to say that the roles are a little bit more defined. So within that, you know, I want to ask CJ about the seven players that I think are certainly going to play in that play-in game. And then from there, he's going to help me define what their role is and how they can level up, or maybe it's even just being a little bit more consistent at it, or whatever the case is. But we're going to talk through that and go through how these players can help the Raptors be a little bit better within a play-in game or within a playoff game. So let's start from the top, the head of the snake, Pascal Siakam. Okay. So what is his role? And yeah, I'll start there. What's Pascal's role to you?
He's the guy. And we know that. So I know that I don't want to make it sound like, you know, I'm going to just say that. Like, I know he's our guy, he's our all-star, he's our leading scorer, he's our go-to. But I think the biggest thing that he's got to be is the closer. Like, and he's got to be the guy. When I need it, I can depend on him. And that's not even, I shouldn't even say closer. It should be any point in the game. If it looks like the team's trying to get away from us, they go on a run, I need him to score 8 for me.
Yeah.
I need to be able to throw it to him and he go get a bucket, or he make the plays that stop that from getting away from us. Or if we got a chance to extend the lead, I need to be able to go to him and he score 8 in a row and turn it from 12 to 18 or 20, whatever. I need him to understand that and carry that confidence and be that weapon that it's like, ain't nothing they can do with me. Like, that's what he got to be. He got to be that guy now. That's his, that, because he's the one. He's the one that brings that. Like, he's the one that has done that consistently. That's what makes him a star. So the biggest thing with these roles is the thing that you bring to the table that nobody else brings, that's what you got to be first now. That's what you got to be first. So when we go, I don't mean to get ahead of you. So, like, we go, I don't know who you're going to say next. You can say the next person if you want to. Like, I don't
wanna get too fast. Let's go Fred. We'll go Fred.
We'll go Fred. So, like, obviously him and Pascal are the leaders, but he's my vocal guy.
Yeah.
He's my guy with the ball. He's the one that's got his hands on the game, his face on the game. And there's going to be some nights where he's going to end up being a closer because of the matchups, because of the things. But for the main part, he's got to have his hands on that game as far as, like, the feel and the pace, understanding where it's got to go, understanding his shots and what he got to do, keeping guys happy. He's got to – that's what he brings to this thing. He sees it differently.
Sure.
The way he sees the game is what makes him the guy right for them. So he's got to see it clearly. He's got to come into it intentionally looking at it like, this is my matchup. Tonight, I might only need to score 12 points or shake open threes. And tomorrow, I might need to score 35. But he's got to be as aggressive to make the right play as possible. Like, and that doesn't mean to shoot it, but it's just aggressive. Like, he's got to be a terror. Like, I saw the Bucks coach, he was talking about, he's a handful. That was the words he used from. He's got to be a handful every night.
Yeah.
They tried to do the switch. They tried to get him in the post. Kevin Love in the post on him. He strips it down.
Nope.
I got to let you know. Like, and they got to know that. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. I got to be a handful. Like, I got to let you know whatever you throwing at me, it's not working. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. like that's what it got to be. You shall not pass, however you want to put it.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's got to be hard to have a feel for a game when you're in the game, you know? That's got to be tough. Like, you want to leverage your, you know, your inane ability, your intelligence to utilize all the matchups and your experience and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, it's like, you probably have to step back for a second. It's like, what am I seeing and what's happening? You know?
Yeah. And that's the crazy thing. That's the thing that I admire about the great point guards, like, that they train that part to become part of their instinct.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? They train that part of their mind so they don't have to take the step back. It's like they see something once. It's like, oh, I know what they're doing. I got it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and now it's not even, it's like, it's just this. That's why Kyle was so good when I was there. Like, he had, he was like, okay, I see what they're doing. I got it. Or he would come out after watching film and know how he was going to get me my first shot when I checked in the game. Before I got in the game.
Yeah.
He'd already know. He's like, I'm going to swing it and I'm going to set this back screen. You're going to be wide open. And he'd just do it. He wouldn't tell you. He'd just do it.
Yeah.
He'd be like, I knew he was going to make that. That's what he would say to me. I knew he was going to make that. I knew he was going to get that shot. Like, he already knew. Like, and that's what I'm saying. He trained it by training his mind, watching the film is what I mean by intent. I know what's going on already. So now I don't have to think about it in the game. It's my approach. My approach is to be ready so I can just be a weapon. I can just be sharp.
There's a difference between, you know, getting in your own bag because you know that these are the things that, I mean, the obvious answer is be good at everything. But there's a difference between, you know, utilizing your skills,
100%.
You know, making that most of it versus exposing another team,
100%.
You know? Again, another thing probably really hard to balance is how do you ensure that you're getting the best out of yourself, but also you also have to expose the other team at the same time. And maybe, just maybe, those aren't your best attributes or you're not the best at that, right?
And that's the way I was about to say. You got to know yourself. So tonight, the game we playing, let's just say we playing, it don't matter who we playing, but let's just say we playing tonight and I know their weaknesses, the team's weaknesses. Whoever the person that is the best to attack their weaknesses is where the ball go.
Yeah.
And that's me being the best version of myself because I'm getting it to the right place. That's the right play. That's what the best version of me is making the right play. That means I care about winning.
Right.
And I'll be rewarded for that because when we attack the weaknesses and all that, they got to make some adjustments. And then a weakness shows up somewhere else and now it's me.
Yeah.
Now I get to attack it. But first, we attack the weakness that's glaring, the one we know. He can't guard him. Give him the ball.
Yeah.
And then it's on that guy's job to execute. Because I know you better and you got to execute because if you don't do your job, then none of this is going to work. If you can't take advantage of the bad matchup, like it's the Martin Luther King quote. I cannot be who I ought to be until you are who you ought to be. Meaning the better you are, the better we are. The better I am, the better we are. That's the way this goes. That's a team. That's teamwork.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess easier said than done, right?
No, yeah, 100%. 100% because there's so many things that go into this. Like, you got your own pride. You got your own contract. You got your own situation that you're bringing into this.
And it's you got to get that.
And your ability. And you believe in your ability as you should because you work on it.
Yeah.
And you might be a decent mid-range shooter. But if there's a better one, I'm not saying don't believe in what you do, but if there's a better one and the goal is to win a championship, if he shoot 80% and you shoot 70, I'm going 80.
Sure.
I'm going to, and don't get me wrong, I'm glad that you shoot 70 because at some point you're going to be open too. But for now, I'm going to the 80. I don't care if it's 72 and 70. I'm going to the 72 because this is about winning now. And winning cures all that other bull that you worried about too. That situation, that contract, that team, that what everybody sees that. We ain't even got to your actual skill set yet. We just know what your mindset is. Because the winning is the mindset in the league.
So there's a few players on the Raptors that, like, this is going to be a pivotal off or postseason for them because of that very reason. So with Pascal becoming the guy, he's had his ups and downs over the past, you know, a little while. Once they got Yak, I mean, I don't want to go down that path. We know the story, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know, like the mid-range, as Fred said today at practice, he's like, that's the jumper is the key, right? He still believes he's an all-NBA player. That's what this is Fred saying today. He's like, he's now all-NBA player for sure. He's like, but the jumper is the thing that's going to make him a solidified top five. If you're Pascal Siakam and you know this is what's critical, right? The mid-range, being able to get that three-point shot off. His three-point shot has dipped a little bit, his percentages at least. You know, they're around 25% over the past, like, you know, 20 games or so. And before that, he was around 35. What are you doing to ensure that, and whatever way you can, is it that you're leveled up and ready to go with whatever is coming at you?
It's mental. It's just mental. Yeah, it's film and it's mental because we know he works. I'm not worried about the work side. I know he's getting his shots up. I know he's going to be in shape. I know he's going to be ready physically. It's just mental because you've done everything that you're going to do. Everything that you're going to do in the next whatever amount of games is left, you've already done a million times. Think about that.
Yeah.
So physically, your body knows what to do. You just have to be mentally sharp and intentional. Like I keep saying that word, but that's what this is at this point. It's intentional. I know what we want. I know what I need to do. That's what this is about. Like, there's nothing new coming physically. Like, they're going to try some tricks defensively. They're going to try some different double teams from different spaces. They're going to try to force you maybe a different way. Just watch that and be sharp.
Yeah.
They can't make you take a shot that you can't make. You can make every shot. We know that. Every type of shot that's in your bag, you know how to get to it. You know how to make it. You just have to show them that whatever they think is a weakness, that you was ready for it. So now it's a strength. Just be ready for it. That's all it is. Like, they think it's a weakness because people can't stop you from going right. They think you going left is a weakness because you don't have to. That's why you work. That's why you prepare for everything.
Yeah.
They think you can't handle a double team. Like, it's just because you haven't double teamed yet. I know I'm prepared. I knew it was coming. I'm just waiting on you to do it. So that's where it got to go. Like, it's just being prepared, which he will be. Like, anybody that said he want to be top five, the only way you get there is being prepared. It's a bunch of guys with a skill level.
Sure.
They're just not prepared to take on the other things.
The mental burden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not mentally strong enough for it. There's a lot of guys that can do a lot of things on a basketball court. Athletically, all that. The only thing that's separating them is the mental capacity.
This might be that, actually, if we're talking like who's got the biggest postseason ahead of them, not to get into whole like this is who has the most pressure, but Pascal could silence a lot of critics in this playoff here.
He changes everything. Because you got to think, because now he shows himself as a winner in a different light. Because remember, like, we're talking about Rose and being prepared. Like, Freddie and Pascal were great players before, right?
Yeah.
What gets them to their status, what changes everybody's outlook on them and gets them paid is winning. This is why I say winning cures all. They could be doing all those great things and not winning, and they don't get the rewards of that. Winning is what gets them to where they are. Winning is what makes you an all-NBA. Sure. The MVP is not the dude that scores the most points. It's the dude that's most valuable on a winning team.
Mm-hmm.
There's no team that's last in the league that has an MVP. He could average 40.
That's it.
That's why you know winning will cure all these things that you got to worry about. So if you understand that, play your role on a winning team.
Yeah.
Even that will get you a bigger role if you end up on another team. Because now they look at you in a different light. They look at you like, okay, we see what he can do, but he's just got Pascal that he's playing with, so he can't do that all the time. So we want to bring him here to expand his role.
Have you seen Pascal struggle a little bit? Maybe this is my own like observations. Have you seen him struggle a little bit to get his mid-range off against players that are a little closer to his height? I know it's harder. Obviously, it is because the person's taller. But is that a mental thing? Because he can still get the shot off with his wingspan, jumping ability, athleticism. The shot can still get off. Right, that's half the battle. He has that. Yeah. But what would be the difference between executing it, finishing it, versus not when perhaps a player is 6'8" versus 6'4", 6'5"?
It's just him being comfortable with that. Like we talk about, like how Kobe was, and how like a lot of great guys was when we felt like they missed shots. It wasn't really anything that I did. I just was making sure I was there. And like the defender's gonna be there. Like, and length is gonna bother anybody. It's gonna change you a little bit. And so like now it's like, why not? So now you know they're gonna put length on you. So we just go practice all the shots with length. We don't even think about the 6'4" guy. So I'm gonna shoot it the same way whether you 6'4" or you 6'10". That's what I'm trying to get to. That's one of the things that's impressive about Gary Trent Jr.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who's in front of him, who's around. The shot is the same shot.
Yeah, when he hit that step back over Brook Lopez in the game the Raptors actually lost. But like, I'm just like, how did he do
that? That's why he makes shots, because he shoots the ball the same way. And the arc on his shot and the way he shoots it allows him – he doesn't have to change it against Brook Lopez. Because I was going to shoot with this arc anyway. So, like, you just got to – that's the thing that got to be a reminder when you go into your work, is that I need to be practicing things that are unguardable – no matter who's guarding me at this point, for Pascal especially, because I'm going to get a bunch of different looks. So why practice thinking, okay, this time the guy's 6'4", next time he's 6'9". Like, no, we're going to practice like the dude is 7 foot every time. So now it doesn't matter. I'm prepared for every situation that's thrown at me.
The mid-range is obvious. I mean, that's, I'm happy that we talked about it. But the three-point shot, it's he's averaging around 4.4, 4.3 right now per game. And I think he needs to shoot threes, especially when once the Raptors get into that Yak and Fred pick and roll. And I love the style that they're able to play now that they have that, but also they can do what they did against Miami when they need to, which is just we're going to bully you with OG and Scotty and Pascal. You want some variety with your offense. But with this three-point shot now, there was a play against the Heat where, you know, Fred got doubled and then he had a pocket pass to Yak and then Pascal cut from the opposing baseline towards the rim and he hit that. He was open from the corner, but he decided to cut towards the rim. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not always going to be available because that was wide open, but I like that idea. And I like the idea of him just because it's a higher percent shot, obviously, but also it keeps him engaged and like in the mindset of let's get to the rim.
Yeah. That's what the cutting does. The cut lets you know he's engaged. Like they saw that he was open instead of just waiting. If somebody saw him, they'll throw it. If they don't, I made myself available in a high percentage space. Like it lets you know he's seeing what's going on. And then there's going to be another time, like you said, it's not going to be a cut. The higher side is going to be for me to catch it in his 3-point corner and make this shot. Like, being engaged was going to allow you to do that. That's really all that is.
Yeah. Defensively, I mean, he can turn it on when he needs to, right? And I think over the past few seasons, he has struggled or he's learning about how do you pace yourself in an NBA game. Before it was easier, right? When he's younger, play defense. That's your role. Play defense, run like the wind, we're good. But now you got to be able to do both and you got to make sure that you got that extra level of energy, you know, for the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter. Now that the Raptors have a bit more depth, a little bit more depth, he can play 36, 37 minutes a game. And, you know, granted, playing game, depending on how things go, he may end up back doing 40.
And that's not his role now. And everybody else has got to understand that. So the Freddie and Scotty got to understand that. That's not Pascal's role now. That's y'all's role. That's y'all's job now. Like, not saying Pascal gets to take defense off, but, like, you got to submit to your role and understand if he's going to be my closer, then I need to lock this dude up. So he ain't got
to. Ron was always an off-ball defender.
Exactly. So I don't have to depend on him to be a closer on for every – I can't depend on him to do everything.
Yeah.
So, like – OG's, no offense to OG and Scotty, but they're not my closers, right? They're not my closers. So they got to understand.
They have vital roles.
They have vital roles, but they're not my closer. Yeah. They have to understand that. So I need to protect my closer by playing my role throughout the game. I need to be locking up first, let that dictate everything else. When I got mismatches, I need to be able to punish them. I need to be able to score in the post and the things I got. So I ain't got to depend on Pascal to score the whole game also, because that's another part too. Defensively and having to put him to score the whole game is taking away legs too at the end. So if he's my closer, I need to make sure we create a rhythm of the game and space in the game for him to keep his rhythm without having to do a bunch of work, but also take some load off him. So at the end of the game, we can depend on that.
Yeah.
And it's tougher for them too, because also I have to create my own rhythm. So I have to be aggressive throughout the game so he's more valuable as a closer too, because now there's less help. So if I'm aggressive throughout the game and I've been a weapon too, OG's made 4 threes. Scotty's been killing his matchup. He's made a couple shots, scoring at the rim, or crashing the glass. I can't go help because I got to be able to box Scotty out. I can't go help because OG's made 4 threes. So now Pascal is one-on-one, and we know how that's going. I'm not leaving Freddie. Freddie's been making his shots and making plays. Mm-hmm. Yach's man is not leaving the rim because – this is not that. That'd be stupid. Like he can't move his feet. So like now we've created this space. We've created an environment. Like it's like we made the soil good for the seed to grow. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and that's why the roles are so important and the intention and everybody understanding their roles and submit to them. And it's okay. Like he's only able to be a closer because of what you've done throughout the game. Don't be so caught up in. They say his name. The media say his name at the end of the game. Who cares? Everybody's going to call you a champion when we get the ring.
Mm-hmm.
We all get the same name when we win it. Everybody's champion. They can say whatever they want right now, but everybody is NBA champion when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
Understand that. Even the dudes that don't play, they got a role. I'm still a champion. I play, and just because it don't manifest in the way that people get to talk about it and make me this or that, does not mean I do not have a role. They're not in the locker room. They're not in practice. They're not in shoot around. Mm-hmm. They didn't hear me whisper in his ear in the timeout of what's been going on, something that he might have missed.
Well, let's switch to Freddie now. And he's got his own role. You touched on it a little bit already, but in point blank, what do you think Fred's role is on this team? What's his job?
El Capitan, like I was saying, like he's steering the ship.
Yeah.
He's keeping people accountable. He rewarding them for their work with the ball or in plays and doing things like that. And he understands like when it's time to call my number too. He's got to be he's got to have the most discernment. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's got to be in the most control. He's got to make sure when the water get, you know, rocky that he take the helm. Like that's what he got to do. That's his job. Like some nights that's going to be him. Like I said, scoring 35. That's him being like, all right, come on now, calm down. I got it.
Yeah.
Some nights he's going to be making sure I keep getting the right person the ball. If they trying to hide somebody defensively, and I know that. So if I attack Pascal's matchup four times and they switch, I'm going to go to OG because they put the guy. It's not Pascal, it's the matchup. And understanding that. And then the other guys got to understand that too. Like you can't be mad because you hot or because you made a couple of shots when we attacking a matchup. It's not about you. It's the matchup. Mm.
What I like about what he's been doing lately, especially since they got Yak, is that he has become a bit of a tone setter. Like the first quarter, he comes out guns a-blazing. Mm-hmm. And it's like he's trying to solidify that this is how we're going to play today. Mm-hmm. And let's continue it. However, when the matchups present itself and it's not the Yak and Fred pick and roll, he's not the scorer. Somebody else has to do their job now. But at the same time, he's now depending on them in a way to set the tone.
Like we were just saying.
So how do you balance that? Because what if those players, maybe they're not setting it the proper way. Maybe they just miss four shots in a row. The other team goes on an 8-0 run. All of a sudden it's 10-0. And you're like, damn, you know, like so, it's
no, no, one. But it's like, we talked about this before a while back, like some making the right play does not always end up in a bucket.
Yeah.
Like for me, like if I make the right pass and the guy misses a dunk, that doesn't mean it wasn't the right pass. Mm. And that's part of the game. Like I'm going to miss some shots some night. But I'm going to go to that guy and be like, look, you got to make this shot. We're not going to win this game. That goes back to everybody playing their roles. Like, you got to make your shot. That's your role. You the shooter. You got to make this shot. When I check in the game and we run some plays and we get you clean looks, you got to make this shot.
Yep.
Or you have no reason to be in the game if that's the only thing you bring to the table. And you can't be upset if we take you out of the game because you ain't doing your role. Like, I was never upset about being taken out of the game when I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. I never looked at the game that way. Like, if I was getting clean looks and I was missing them, and I know why I got taken out of the game. Like, we got to put some.
Doesn't got to say a word to you.
Yeah, we got to put somebody in that position that's going to execute. Because the goal is to win, not keep you happy.
Yeah.
You want to be happy, do your job.
And the points are coming from that spot.
From that spot. So I got to put somebody in that spot that's going to execute. And that's not to say I won't try you again, because I believe in your skill set. But right now, this is the weakness we got to exploit. So I got to take you out. You go get your mind right, get some water, do whatever you got to do. We'll come back to it. Mm-hmm. But until we're able to execute that weakness, we're not going to be able to win this game because they're going to keep pushing us to you and you're going to be 0 for 10 or 1 for 10, whatever. I need you to be 4 for 10 at least.
So coaches and a Fred in this case would be the one that would say, it's time to switch.
Yeah, because that's what the point guard is, right? The point guard is the extension of the coaching staff or the game plan. That's the point guard's main number one job.
I'm getting a little excited here. They're watching more film, right? They're watching more film than probably the shooting guard, power forward, center. They're watching film in a different way.
They watch it in a different way. I think everybody's watching film. I think everybody's got to watch it to an extent of like to see what you can't, to see it from the outside, like the big eye from the sky type, so you can see what reactions your movements cause. Because sometimes you can't. There's a lot of plays you make where you can't see everything. So if I'm in a pick and roll and I'm trying to turn the corner and the big is in my face, I can't see what the defense is doing. But if I come into the game already knowing what they're doing, that's why I'm able to make these passes that seem blind. Some people think they're blind passes. Like, no, I know if the big is high that they got to rotate extra. So I know my guys in that corner open. I just got to find a way to get the ball to the corner. I don't have to necessarily be able to see him. I just know he's over there. San Antonio
was
the
how big the how how high the big is going to show.
Exactly.
Or if they're going to double. Yes. Or if they're going to, if they're going to trap, or if it's going to be a late.
They're going to, it's like stepping to the line and you see quarterbacks call an audible. Like they see what they about to do already. So we're not running the play I call now. Yeah. Or yes, we're running the play because I know he's coming off this corner on this blitz. I already know. This is why Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, all these dudes were so good because they stepped to the line. They was like, oh, I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, all right. Like they wouldn't even, sometimes they wouldn't even call them plays in the huddle. They would just go, they would just get to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And just be like, oh, all right, he coming, he's shifting, whatever. Omaha, blase, 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 first down or a touchdown.
That's all I know too. Omaha. Yeah.
And that's just the setup to tell you like, oh, I'm about to mess you up. Like, that's what that means. Like, that's all that means.
With Freddie, that he's, I sent this out a few days ago that since February 1st, he is shooting 68% at the rim. And his career high on the season, well, his career high overall is 58% at the rim in a season. And that is this season. But since February 1st, 68%. Now, I would imagine Yawk's presence has been a factor in that. But at the same time, like he's gotten very crafty around the rim.
We talked about that earlier this season.
Yeah, yeah.
You can tell he's been watching film. And he's been looking at it and saying like, all right, this is what they're doing. This is what I can do better. This is why I was, when we were talking about like people, when people were worried, whenever that was, I don't even remember how long ago that was. I don't even remember
the time. It wasn't that long ago.
Exactly. And everybody was just on his head. Like I was like, bro, you do not, like, this is why basketball is able to be compared to life, because this is how both of them go. Like, we're going to talk about the end result. You're going to talk about it at the end of this, like after 82 games, say I'm shooting 44% from the 3-point line, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say that. Like, we're going to get to the end of the year and you're going to like, man, he had a great year. And there's going to be 3 weeks, 4 weeks of that time, I'm going to shoot 28% from the 3-point.
Yeah.
Going to happen. And there's going to be 4 weeks I shoot 70%. I'm going to go a month of shooting 55%. Like, I know the numbers are not, like, because there's so much that goes into the game. The way defenses are playing me, the way the type of shots I'm getting might change. I might get 2 weeks where I'm getting nothing but corner three standstill. I'm making all of those. And then the next defenses we might face might be running you off all type of stuff, and the bigs might be higher, and so, or you're just having a little tough time getting as many shots. So you go 0 for 3 one night, 0 for 4 one night, 0 for, like, it's not even, like, the best quality of shots. These things happen. You make adjustments, and you execute. That's the game. That's life.
It's a lot of responsibility. And a lot of it is, like, there are things that you're – probably an average person isn't really privy to. They don't understand, you know, the point guard is the reason why perhaps a few possessions haven't gone the way that they should. It may be because, you know, a player didn't do something right, but all at the same time, as the El Capitan, in a different way, as like as the point guard, you are asked to snuff that stuff out before it even happens. You got to know, right?
There's a certain weight on you, because it's like if we're on a fast break and I got, Yak and Gary Trent running with me, or they're ahead of me, and I want to get the ball ahead. I'm not going to throw the ball to Yak at half court to have to handle it and make the pass. Like, that's my fault if there's a turnover comes in that position. I'm going to throw it to the guard up ahead, let him make the better play. I'm going to throw it to the better ball handler. If I throw it to Yak, no disrespect to Yak, and he has to make an in and out move and try to figure out how to do, now I put him in a position that he's not supposed to be in. It's my fault.
It's even tempo too. Like, when are you getting into your sets? I found way too often. I don't even blame the Fred. I'm just saying in general, the Raptors, like, they're getting into their half court sets.
Too late.
14 seconds on the shot clock. You got to be in your set, jog up the court, get into it by like 18. Get there and get things moving. You just wasted, you know, 4 or 5 seconds, right? And those are valuable for a team that isn't a great half court team. Not yet, at least.
Exactly. But this is part of the reason why they're not a good half court team. Because they can't even get into their things to switch the ball side to side and get some real fluidity. Because now we got to get into a pick and roll or an ISO right away. Like, once it switches, once it goes to one person and then to another, now I'm at 9 seconds.
That's not good. Unless you know where the ball is going to go and you have that dude, which maybe Pascal is going to be that dude in the postseason.
Those are the times that he has to be that dude. Like, that's what I mean. Like, those are the times where it's like, do this for me. Finish this off for me. Save me real quick.
Right.
But I can't do that to him for the entire game. If he's on the court 39 minutes, I can't do that to him for 35 minutes.
Interesting conversation around Freddie. All right, let's move to OG now. I think it's fair to say that defensively, we just sort of know. We kind of know.
Right. But that's what he's got to lead with.
Yes. Yes.
He can't let
To another player we're going to talk about too.
Yeah, because he's that's what he brings that nobody else brings, right?
Mm-hmm.
So even on the nights he's not getting shots or not making shots or just not whatever it is, that can't take away from that. Not at this point in the season.
No.
Because there's nobody else that can defend their best player like you.
Yeah.
That's the thing I need from you more than anything. That's what's going to make
guard
Joel
Embiid tomorrow. He is going to guard Joel.
That's what I'm saying.
That's crazy to me. That's
so his effort on guarding Joel can't change if he's not getting shots, because if it does, Joel is going to have a field day. It's going to take his mental capacity and all of his effort to guard the guy who could very well be the MVP this year. He has a chance to be. I don't know if he's going to win it, but I'm just saying he's in the conversation. Yeah. So if that type of caliber player walks in the building, me getting shots, making shots cannot deter from that. Because even so, let's say I'm getting shots and I go 3-for-3 from the 3-point line, I score and I have 9, but he's got 16. You know what I mean? Like, my effort's got to go towards that. Because if I can bring him below his average, I hurt them more than my 9 points do. And I'll get my shots and I'll make those or whatever. Like, but I'm just saying, like, the first approach to this has got to be do that. And that's going to make me play better anyway, because I'm not concentrating on the other things. That just becomes part of the game.
What's different about OG is that some players, you ask them to play with energy and there won't be much of a material outcome outside of they're playing hard and that's good and like they're not getting beaten, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But with OG, when he plays hard and he's engaged, you see steals, you see rebounds, you see physicality, you see him like taking over games in a way that few players can do it on the defensive end.
Exactly.
And you can just see it.
Because
it's crazy to me.
He just falls into it. Like, there's no thought process. His instinct is so good on that side that it's like very healthy Kawhi Leonard. You know what I mean? Like, when we saw him, I remember the play in Toronto when he dove backwards to steal the ball. Do you remember this play? Like, laid out, flat, straight out, steal
it. Against OKC? Was it against OKC?
Maybe that's whoever it was. Whoever it was, though. Like, that type of play, like, dudes don't make plays like that.
Yeah,
that's not normal. You know what I mean? Mm. That's like, I have an instinct and I have an ability that I've been able to hone over all this time. Hold on, I'm losing my headphones.
It's all good.
But
it was
against
Minnesota. That's who it was.
Yeah, but like that type of play.
Yeah,
like OG has he makes those type of plays. Yes, that's why the comparison was of that. That's what they saw, the instinct and the way he affected the game and the size and all that too. But like, that's what brings that comparison to him. And OG has all of those tools to change the game without scoring a bucket. But I can stop a bunch of buckets, and I can create a bunch of other buckets for my teammates. And then a lot of these steals turn into dunks on fast breaks, which leads to better rhythm on my jump shot because I've seen 3 layups go in. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is why he has to lead with his best thing, because they make everything else better.
On the offensive side of the ball, OG, he has been scoring the ball better.
100%.
Whether it's health, whether it's rhythm, comfort. Today, I was just saying to you before we started recording that he was working with Earl Watson. It was a lot of just like mid-range. Yeah. Great dude. From what I understand, at least. I don't know him very well personally. But
I played with him too. I've talked to him before.
Oh, yeah, you did, didn't you?
Yeah,
you did.
Yeah.
It was a lot of mid-range. It was scoring from different spots, from the 45, from the high post, counters. I think it's fair to say that, you know, especially with OG and his role, and this is the guy I was talking about when we were talking about Pascal, like, what is your role? I can see a case where you're going to get, you know, 4, 5, 6 attempts at scoring because teams are going to be like, we're not going to let Pascal do 100%. This. We're not going to let Fred do that. And we're going to decide that we're going to make OG beat us. Can he score in those chances? That's my takeaway from what his role is going to be and how we could level up at it. Can you hit those opportunities? The threes, there's reason to believe with how he's been shooting, seems like he's healthy. The threes are continuing to drop, right? The energy side, we know that. Offensive rebounding, great. Early post-ups, bully ball, cool. But those attempts, that's like an 8-point swing that a team didn't account for.
Yeah.
You know?
And this goes back into what we're talking about, being prepared.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found.
LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
He's got to know that that's coming. Mm-hmm. That's what gives him the best chance to execute him by knowing it can't be caught by surprise. He can't be caught by surprise.
Yeah.
And we also talking about a guy who asked for an expanded space. Uh-huh. So this is where you earn that.
Yeah.
You don't earn the playoffs make everybody. The playoffs change everything. You do something in the playoffs, it changes the outlook on every because it's winning time. Mm-hmm. And the value is up. There's a lot of regular season greats. A lot of them. So a lot of guys who go crazy in the regular season. And now when we get in the playoffs and you're like honed in on, it's hard. That's why it's hard for guys who like play a role like I play. Like if you're a shooter, that's your role and that's what you give us.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's hard on guys like that because we can find a way to take you out of the game. We can topside you. I remember we played Cleveland when I was in Indiana and LeBron literally topsided me for a whole series. Just stood in front of me in the corner to make sure I couldn't come off the baseline and create any space on any screens. He just sent me back door the whole series. Face guarded me, like looked at me dead in my face.
He's forcing you to help, right?
No.
Or what was he doing? He was.
He just was face guarding me. So like he's sending me to the baseline where I can't come off screens because that's what I create the most habit. So if I get off the screen, I can catch and shoot, or the big's got to be high, I can catch and pass. Or I bring two to the ball. Like that's the gravity I bring off of that because I shoot it well. So he's like, we're going to take away the gravity. I'm going to just face guard you and they're going to play 4-on-4 behind me.
Mm.
That's what he did to me. Pointed it out saying he called it out the play that's being called while face guarding me.
Oh, he was, that's that time.
So like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like that type of thing. He's like, I'm going to face guard it. I'm sending them baseline. Y'all take care of that without me. So now consequently, like I'm still moving, but I'm not causing him to exert no energy either.
Yeah, you're not causing now, havoc anymore.
Because now we got to go away from this because we can't waste 10 seconds of the shot clock to try to get you off both sides of the floor. Like we got to go. So if it
that
ain't
was
nothing
a
coming.
Bench mob year, right? Bench mob year?
No, this happened in before I got to Toronto.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they didn't guard me like that when I was in Toronto. That's why I made threes against them because they didn't guard me like that. But when I was in Indiana, they did that to me.
Okay.
Because I also had a track record for going off on Cleveland.
So he was calling out plays back then too.
Yeah, no, he's been like that.
What does that feel like?
I mean, he's not the only one that does it. Let's be clear about that too. Like. Yeah. It's just highlighted because of who he is and the talent level he does have. So, like, it's just another thing that you got to deal with. Like, I got to deal with him being 200 and whatever, handling the ball, running like a locomotive, doing all these other things, passing, shooting. And I got to deal with the fact that he's mentally engaged, too. Because there's a lot of guys we talked about that are athletic and freaks on the basketball court, but they're not mentally engaged. So, I'm going to have 10 minutes of the game where I ain't even got to worry about him because he's checking himself. I don't have to worry about that with LeBron. LeBron's like the one thing I give him credit for. He's as alert on the basketball floor as anybody that I've ever played against. Like, you know what I mean? Like he's dialed in. And like we said, that's the biggest part of this. Cause we've seen athletic guys before. He just figured out how to utilize everything that he has.
His brain is different.
They call him a basketball computer. I saw Isaiah Thomas talk about that with him. He was like the one thing we don't know about him. It's like, where did he come from? Like, why is he like that? Because he was like, no offense to his coaches, but like he doesn't come from this great line of coaches that taught him these habits and did all these things for him.
Yeah.
Like he's like, no offense to his high school coach, but his high school coach, like I don't know his name. And he said, that's to my point. No offense to him, but like he didn't go to Duke and play for Coach K or Roy Williams or Dean Smith like Michael Jordan came from and then come in the league and he didn't play for Phil Jackson or Phil Collins or like he doesn't come from Popovich or like who made – like what? Where does this come from? And it's just like, will, like, I want to be the greatest. And that shows you that that's unmatched. If that's what you want, then that's what you're going to be. That's always, that's why what I said about Pascal at the beginning of the year. When he said you wanted to be top five, I believe it. Because you have to say that, that means you know what comes with it.
Did you see a difference in LeBron in his alertness in regular season versus postseason? Yeah. Did you just see something?
Yeah. He has his nights. He has his nights in the regular season where he's like, it's like Draymond said. He's like, I have a hard time getting out of my bed in March. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? He's like, because of what I've seen and knowing what it takes, it's like there are some nights where like, it's like, bro, we got to do this again. Yeah. Like, can we just get to the good part? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we see it. And he does his whole bit on Instagram going dark. He does his whole bit or whatever. But like, you know, like it
but
is different.
Truth though. To it.
But
there's
it's yeah, no, no, it's truth to it. Like, you know what I mean? You got to lay the blueprint out. Like, I holler at y'all after I lift this trophy up.
Al Horford was on JJ Redick's podcast the other day, and he cited a moment. It was game seven, right what year it was, but game seven, 2 minutes left. And he's like, we're all on the court. It's me. It's Tatum. It's Jaylen Brown. It's Marcus Smart and myself. And we are gassed. It's a close game. We're gassed. We're so tired. And like mentally, physically, we're just drained. And then we look over at LeBron. He's just sitting on the scorer's table. It looks like he's fresh as a daisy. Mind you, at the same time, he's played almost every single minute and he's involved in every single action. He is the play. You talk about that? That's what he is. He does all of that. And here is this man, ignorant as hell, just like la-di-da-di-da, 2 minutes left, fourth quarter, game seven. And of course, the Cavaliers won.
That is like, man, like, that is one of the things that you got to give him credit for. Like, between him, Stephen Curry, they are the best conditioned basketball players we've ever seen up to this day. Like, for the capacity, for like the usage of a game and what they do throughout a season and to be able to stay, to hold that level throughout a whole game and a series. And there's not a lot of guys who have, like, who John Stockton's the only one, the other one I can think of. Yeah. He missed how many games his whole career? Like 18 or something, and like 12 of them will win one season because of an injury. It's wild.
It is. Yeah.
And he didn't even have what they have now. Like, there's not a lot of guys. I mean, there's other guys. Who was another one that was, they called the Iron Man. AC Green was another guy like that. But like, as far as like really conditioning, and LeBron always talked about this. I'll give him credit for that too. He talked about being available was like one of his biggest strengths. Everybody talks about, he was like, I'm available though. It doesn't matter if I have all these talents, if I'm not available. I'm available for my team to use these talents every night.
Yeah, that's true.
That's crazy.
He's on the court, man. He's on the court. Came back from an injury through his LeBron ways and also some magical doctors, some magical healing. You see those quotes about
him? The LeBron of feet.
LeBron of feet.
That's what he said. I went to go see LeBron
recover
James
from an injury so quickly. You know, I don't want to get all over LeBron. We're talking about how the great man. He is. He is great, but it was a funny quote.
Yeah, it was funny. It was funny. The situation was funny. But it's like, it's also funny because it's part true. And it's like, because he's talking like that, but at the same time, he's joking, but it's like, I'm also not joking.
I am
LeBron James, and I saw the LeBron James of feet, and like, you know what I mean? Like, it's almost hard to, I don't even know how to break it.
And then
people get upset about it because it's true, though. That's what's funny. Uh-huh. It's people's reaction to it is what's funnier to me about it. It's like, you're upset because he's telling the truth, because people, they like, be humble. He's like, I'm not boasting. I'm telling the truth. Like, I told the truth. Like, I didn't make up a story to make myself look bigger. I just told you what happened. Like,
yeah,
deal with it. Like, I am LeBron James. Like, it's like with Kobe. People didn't like Kobe for certain reasons that I didn't understand. It's like, they think he's like, it was like, I think he's arrogant. I was like, well, why do you think he's arrogant? He thinks he's the best. Well, is he? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, is he? Like, why does he, you upset for him thinking that way? Like, and that says a lot about you, because like, you obviously don't think that way.
Maybe you're not as confident. Maybe you wish you had that confidence. See, that's how you switch it around. And both people walk away saying, thinking that they're right again.
Ego's still intact or out or.
Yeah. Delusion, I guess.
Yeah.
Side tangent. But back to OG, FYI, if you're curious, this season, he technically shoots 41% on drives, but since the All-Star break, 46%.
Say it again. I'm sorry. Who? I missed it.
OG.
OG. Okay. I'm making sure. I'm making sure we're still in the same person. I'm just making sure with you. Okay.
So again, 41% on drives over the season, but since the All-Star break, 46%. So these are the possessions that we're talking about. You know,
essentially those every other drive.
Yes. Yeah. That's very good, man. That's the kind of stuff that lifts your team and gives you, like I said, another 8-10 points in a game that they did not account for. Now, if everyone's doing their job, you're humming and, you know, get a few cuts. His activity on both ends is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Defensively, obviously, but him off ball is very important. Him seeking out early post-ups when he's already, you know, when a ball goes up and he can leak out a little bit, get someone small on him, get a few easy buckets. Like, that's important too.
It's funny that we keep talking about everybody doing their job, because, like, if you look at championship teams or anybody that's won a championship, you look at this team when they won a championship in a couple years ago. Everybody did that. They won because everybody did their job. Like, everybody, every opportunity that a guy was that was presented to him, he executed in it in certain points of the game. So, like, nobody did anything outside of themselves. Like, Freddie making big shots, he had done that. Pascal making his running the floor, catching over top, finishing the rim, his spin move in the lane, he had done that. It's just when it was time to execute it. Kawhi had done all the things. He didn't do anything different. He wasn't playing like Steph Curry all of a sudden. Kyle wasn't playing different. You know what I mean? Like, nobody did anything outside of themselves. They just, when it was their chance, when they presented themselves, they executed. That's the biggest part of this. Like, the talent level is not the problem. It's being at that level when I need you to be.
So then moving to Scotty Barnes. What's his role on this team now? What do you think?
The first thing is he's the fire, right? He's like the energy. Like, he's another part of like Freddie brings that in, but he is like a living, breathing heartbeat, because he brings that enthusiasm, the yelling, the trash talking, a little bit of a swagger to it. And he can touch every part of the game.
Yeah.
So, like, I think it's more so just activity, just being present, because there's so many things that can be presented to him that he can execute on. He just has to be aware of it. Like, I can't give it one thing, because, like, tonight, in a series, like, one night it might be you have to guard. Another night, because of the game plan changing, you might be the point guard. Another night, you might be going to in the post. Another night, you might just have to make five standstill wide open threes because they decided you was going to have to be the one to do this today.
Now, like, we need you to hit those jumpers from the nail, because they're zoning up and we need you to score from there.
And he's so young that, like, he's still, like we talked about early on the episode with his trainer, about he's still picking apart his all NBA attributes.
Yeah.
Like, he we know he had the skill level to be molded into an all being NBA guy. He's still picking out the big strength and the big, he's just got all these bits and pieces that work really well. And at some point, it might just be that he's great at everything. But right now, he's really good at a lot of things. So he's just got to understand which thing is the good thing right now. Mm-hmm. What is the thing that I need to use right now? And that's his biggest thing. And his energy. His energy's got to be unmatched every night. And I think he's enthusiastic most nights. I think he brings that. Yeah. So not really worried about that.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, something I wrote down was, like, his defense should lead to his offense in a way. And I think Thad Young, he talked about this a few months ago with Scotty. He's like, we know that he's got the skill on the offensive side. It's like, but once you lock in on defense, especially with how the Raptors play, and sometimes, you know, it is going to be the matchup that Scotty can expose, just like it was the Miami Heat. Like, he had a great game because they identified that that's where we're going to hurt you. All right. But sometimes it won't be that, and you can't fade. You start then with your defense. That's how you get yourself in the game. And then his cutting, the discipline, the focus, the lock-in has to be there. And you start that on defense.
The reason, and that's the reason he has to lead with that, because there's some nights you'll see, there's some nights he might not get a shot till like 6-7 minutes in the game.
Yeah.
So he's got to find a way to keep himself in rhythm and present in the situation. So when that shot comes, he's not thinking, man, I haven't got a shot yet. He's just thinking, like, it hasn't presented itself yet. I'm just playing the game. Because when you start thinking, man, I haven't got a shot, then you go force one.
Yeah.
And that was, and if you miss that fourth shot, it can change the rhythm of your night real fast. And now you got to fight an uphill battle. You can get out of it, but why put yourself in the hole for no reason?
Something I find interesting is, like, you could have an open shot and maybe it's an 8-point game, right? And you're wide open. You feel like you could make it, but then you think, you know, this is what I am as a three-point shooter. It's early shot clock. We could really use a good possession because the momentum, mm-hmm. we're on the road, for instance, mm-hmm. the momentum's kind of shifting. It's like, do I take this shot or does someone else take that shot? Do I wait? I'm not saying he does this all the time, but there have been cases, sure, where he's taking a shot. It may be a little bit ill-advised and mm-hmm. it's regular season. It's fine, but playoff time, his discipline in terms of being a playmaker and also his shot selection. And mm-hmm. it may even be like not even that many shots sometimes, but the yeah. shots you take have to be within the flow of the offense. And yeah. something that is really important as well is who are the people that should be taking the shots at those uh-huh. specific moments within a possession, within a frame of a game, whatever way it's going. If you're flowing, if you're up by 20 or whatever, yeah. you know, the ball's moving, then take your shot. But yeah. extra level of understanding, being in tune. Yeah, of being in tune to a game.
Understanding that, like, so, like, let's just take the play you just named. He's wide open yeah. at the three-point line. So, like, knowing that he's not really making his threes right now. And that's not saying he's not confident in shooting them. He just understands where he's at right now. So, the development of him mentally is understanding, all right, I'm wide open. So, if I take this ball to the corner, to the wing that's there to do a dribble handoff, it's essentially yeah. a two-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
So, when I flip it into him and set a screen and I roll, either the guy I screen for is wide open or I'm wide open because we just played two-on-one.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have a defender guarding me. So when I roll, I'm going to be wide open. Now I'm in a rhythm shot that I'm much more comfortable taking. Or I'm mm-hmm. catching it on the roll down to go dunk it.
Yeah.
Instead of having to take a three. Or I just got Gary Trent Jr. a wide open 18-footer. One or the other. Like, now that's the development of this mentally. Like, it's like you see Draymond pick and choose what threes he takes up there. He knows he's not shooting it great. He's not a great yeah. shooter. So, like, he just moves it. He just keeps it going because, you know, they're not guarding me. I take it to the other side. Now the guy that's trying to guard me is chasing me. He's late when I go to the screen. He uses them not guard. I think the worst thing the defenses do is not guarding him.
Yeah.
I really believe that. Like, I think it makes – because, like,
the just, Warriors. Yeah.
yeah.
The Warriors,
they,
yes,
with the Warriors.
The shooting they have. Yeah.
And
yeah,
what
yeah.
they do. Yeah. All those guys running around. He gets to just look at everything without anybody in his face.
Sure.
Makes passes with no pressure. He does the drop thing he does with Steph where he just drops the ball and screens. It's because nobody's guarding him.
Yeah.
So, like, he can just leave the ball there and go do whatever he wants. And then Steph just runs. I think that's like, I'm like, how is nobody looking at it that way?
I mean, I'd love that kind of chemistry to be developed with a Scotty yeah, and a yeah. Fred. Guys that have that shooting gravity, a Scotty and yeah. a Gary. Actually, let's move to Gary right now because, I mean, it's kind of self-explanatory with Scotty. You know, his time is going to come, but in this playoffs coming up, if they want to make some kind of noise, if they want to, you know, at least get into the playoffs, that kind of stuff, him being as malleable as he is and as disciplined as he can be, those are the keys. And also his energy. That's kind of the gist of it. But there will be moments, phases of a game, 5-6 minute stretches where it's going to be like, Scotty, go.
Yeah. yeah.
Go do your thing.
And he's got to recognize it. We yeah. can't tell him. Yeah. He got to yeah. see it happening.
Definitely.
We can't tell him.
Yeah.
He can't wait for somebody to tell him.
No. Can't let two possessions go by.
Yeah, it's like, man, I should have took advantage of that. Nah, we yeah. need every possession right now.
At practice today, Nick Nurse said that Gary is questionable still, so he may not play tomorrow, but he is getting close. The nature of the injury, it's like it's a muscle elbow sort of thing, yeah, and it continues to be flaring up. It doesn't sound great, but then Nick did say, he's like, but we do expect him back shortly. So hopefully he's back. Obviously, we yeah. kind of know that he's going to be the scorer off the bench. That's what is expected of him at this point. And also when he comes in, I mean, really, it's just like when you come in, be ready to shoot. And sometimes he comes right. in and people have commented saying, he's not even looking to pass. I'm like, I don't mind.
He's not supposed to.
I'm fine.
That's
I'm
not
fine.
My.
I'm fine with
that's,
that.
That's not my job.
Yeah.
Like,
there's obvious moments where you want him
yeah,
to pass.
Yeah, you know, I don't want you to do something stupid, but like your job yeah. is to come in here and be aggressive.
Yeah.
You're a punch. You got to come off there looking to knock people's heads off that bench. Mm. Like, if I'm checking in the game off the bench and I'm him and we up 8, I'm trying to make it 18.
And he can.
I'm so aggressive. Like, and then I'm yeah. so aggressive that it me being that aggressive will show me the passes to make because the passes will be blatant.
Yeah.
Like, the way he becomes a guy that averages 4 assists a game is being aggressive with his shot. Mm. Because now people got to come help. Bigs got to be up higher. So I hit the pocket passes, things like that. If I'm not yeah. aggressive, there's no place for me to pass it. So now nobody gets anything out of this. I'm just out there.
Yeah.
Like, this is who he has to be, especially in the playoffs. We don't need that punch.
Definitely.
Like, imagine the way the home games, the way the crowd turns when he comes off the bench and comes in and hits 3 threes in a row. how that arena changes the way that game goes.
Yeah.
Like, there's much more to this than just that. The way the team, and then that in turn affects the whole team now. Like, these are the type of punches that he got to throw, and you need him to, and he's capable.
And this is why I think, you know, they were doing this when everyone was healthy, but then injuries happen, and that's how it goes. But they were allowing Scotty and Gary to be, like, the 1-2 punch in some of those bench lineups. And I just love the idea. You have one of your best perimeter threats, then you have Scotty going back to his dribble handoff role, but also he's still a downhill threat. And they were, you know, their two-man game was great. And, like, Scotty's a great screener. Gary's coming off those screens. He has space. He's rolling into his mid-range pull-ups. And then from there, all of a sudden now he's finding a corner three-point shooter, right? Mm-hmm. I think that could be, you know, the root of how they roll with some of their bench-heavy lineups. You know, Scotty checks out early. Then maybe Precious or Chris, they come in. And then Gary comes in late.
That is a good fit. That is a good way to do it. I think it's me. I bring Chris in early because I want Precious with Scotty and Gary
for rim protection.
Yeah, for rim protection, for another screener, big screener out there. And we're talking about Chris being the better shooter. So I want Chris with the other guys that make space. I want him with Freddie and Pascal.
Mm-hmm.
So I want him to be out there where I can utilize his strengths. I want him to be out there with good passers and space makers. Because he's a good catch and shoot guy, especially in the corners. That's where he's going to be in Pascal's ISOs and in Yakin, Freddie's pick and rolls. He's going to be spaced. That's why I want him here. I want Precious with the other guy because Precious is going to run and screen and he can catch off. He can catch and go. He can do other things. But for rim protection, especially in his physicality, that's just the way I see that. I'm not the coach. That's just the way I see it.
I think you're spot on, though. I think you're onto something. I think you got something there.
I just seen a lot of basketball. Let's put it like that.
Seen a lot, done a lot.
Man.
Chris Boucher on the pod last week, the conversation was going around, you know, his player recently, and it came up like, you know, what is he shooting from three since like January? And I hollered it out to him. It was like 37, 38% or something like that. And he's like, you see? You see, he said it was going to turn around at some point, and to his credit, it has. So,
not worried about it at all. Like he knows what he do. He know the work he put in. Like,
yeah,
it just happens. Like you go through. Yeah. Like you mean, it's a lot of games, a lot of shots, and like you can't let that make you sink. You know, and you just keep working, keep your routines, and you stay confident, stay faithful in your work.
The energy is going to be there. There were some cases in game 6 against the 76ers where he was pretty much told by the 76ers, we want to burn the run you off the line and we want to see you attack the
make
rim.
Make a play,
And he did it. And that's going to be something that he's going to be tested with again.
For sure.
The 76ers were one matchup that he was able to do it, right? But and he actually hasn't been asked to do it too much.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, he's on the court 22 minutes, 25 especially, minutes. That could come up for him.
Yeah, especially if you get to the playoffs. Like he might be able to kind of stay catching, shooting through this run to try to get. But when he gets in the playoffs and everything's detailed, I'm running him off the line and then I'm making sure somebody comes help. So he got to make a decision. I want to test his decision making. Like not that he can take one dribble and go dunk it. I know he can go do that. He's long. He's athletic. Yeah. But I want him to have to make a play. I'm going to run him off the line. I'm going to make sure people come to protect the rim. So he's got to see, he's got to make Euros, he's got to do all that extra stuff. That's what I want to make him do. If I'm the other coach, like if we're being honest, same thing with Precious on his catch and goes. Like I don't want no straight lines because he can go finish over the top of whoever it is. I want to make him make a play, not just a drill play where it's catch and shoot or just get by the guy, get right to the rim. I want to make them make.
I mean, on those guys, Gary, Chris, and Precious, we've talked about some of them already, but is there anything else that sticks out for you that you want to see them get a little bit better or focus in on heading into the playoffs / play-in?
I don't want to call it getting better at a fight. I just know they got to understand. No, you good. I'm just saying they got to understand because I don't want to make it seem like they're not doing some of the things we're saying.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I said
Yeah.
They definitely doing some. That's why there's been success. It's obviously there's a little bit of, but it's been success because they do the things. But the biggest thing is like the attention we talked about, understanding how important they are. Like, don't let it turn into like we just gonna lean on the starters type thing.
Sure.
Like carry your role, like Pascal carry his role. Like checking the game, you carry that. Like, yo, I need to do this. I don't need, it's no, I'll see what they give me. Like, no, do what you will, not what you can. Like, go at it, attack, be the play, like we talked about. Be the play.
Love that saying.
Within your realm, within your side of your game, be the play. Yeah. Like, everybody got to be that. Like, know what it is you do and execute it. If you're a rim protector, everybody that drive got to see you. If that's what you are, obviously within means of being capable. Like, don't go do nothing stupid and fly it out over the place and knock somebody over.
Sure.
But, like, understand that you're the rim protector. Be there. Somebody get baseline, be there. And they got to do their job so you can do your job, though. If we forcing baseline, people can't be getting middle. So the wings, if I'm Precious, I'm telling them, if you make them go where they supposed to go, I'm going to be there. Help me help you. If they supposed to go baseline, send them there. I'm here. He going to see me. That's the way the conversation got to go. Got to reassure everybody in their roles. If you open, it's coming to you. You got to make it, though.
Do some players struggle with the idea of being a screener?
I think it's more about being anxious to get the ball. So they'll get out of it too early. And then some guys, they struggle with it because they don't want to get hit. Because you got to hit somebody to be a screener.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the physicality part of it. Like, I think once you understand, like, once you have real success at being a screener, you understand it. Like Stephen Curry became a good screener because he realized he was getting in more shots. Like, he wasn't – the physicality that he carried in his screening, he did not carry that early in his career.
Yeah.
And now people talk about how strong he is now. They talk about the change. And you can see the change in his body, the change in his strength or whatever. But, like,
oh, yeah, man.
That's so you can take the hits that people are giving you and so you can inflict pain too.
Yeah.
I need to be able to screen some people to cause confusion and to cause switches and or use my gravity. Screen this big so we can throw this live. Because my guy's not helping. Nobody's helping off me. I know that. So I need to be able to screen.
Is it easier to screen a taller player in terms of trying to create an advantage out of it?
I mean, it's like anything. It's easier to hit a bigger target. So, you know what I mean? Like,
Bad. When the ball handler is taller, is it easier to get offense out of a pick and roll when the player is taller versus being shorter? So we're talking like a Fred versus Scotty. If whoever's guarding Scotty or Fred, is it easier to get offense out of the play when the ball handler is Fred versus Scotty or whatever?
I don't know if it's easier. I think it's a matchup thing because like Scotty, like we talked about him being up there playing point guard, he sees stuff that other guards don't see because of his size. But at the same time, if they're showing out on the pick and rolls and it's Freddie's getting around corners that Scotty's not getting around because Freddie's down lower and faster and stretching the defense out a different way. So it depends on the way the team is playing. If they're in a drop, I think having Scotty is great because now Scotty gets to attack the big. It's not Fred. Even though Fred's shooting dang near 70% from at the rim, still having a 6'10 guy attacking that rim is different.
Yeah. The edges now, are different.
Yeah. Now, if they're showing out high, I want Fred because I want Fred to be able to beat around that corner or stretch the big out.
Yeah.
They switch. But then we also look at if they're in a drop and I got Fred coming off, Fred shoots a three. So, like, you know what I mean? Represent their own challenge to the defense.
That's true. It's like, who's your drop big? If it's like some sort of forward, for instance, and they're thinking, let's make sure that Fred can't get to the rim and this person keep up. Well, how about we're going to make Scotty now? We're going to make Scotty our ball handler now.
But like,
you got to keep him at bay.
Let's say, like, if it's Jokic in the pick and roll, you know they drop.
We know that story, man.
I want Fred in the pick and roll. Because either he's going to be too far back or he's going to be too high. He doesn't win. Yeah. And either way, he's going to be in no man's land and I'm going to be able to do whatever I want. Like, that's how I'm looking at it. Now, if I'm looking at a really active mobile big and I got Scotty in it, I think he has an advantage because now if the guy can stick with him at the rim, Scotty can hit him with a shoulder. Scotty can make a move down there. Scotty can do different things. And Scotty can still see the floor.
Yeah.
No offense to Fred, but he can see it greater.
No, for sure. Yeah, it's just, you know, matchups, right? Like, for instance, I was thinking
my man's vertically challenged.
His heart is 7 feet tall, though.
Facts.
For instance, the teams that the Raptors could play in the play-in. You got the Bulls, you got the Heat, you got the Nets, and you got the Hawks. So of those four teams, three of them have a very vertical traditional center. Capella, Vucevic, two of them. Right? Those two. But then the other teams, you got Nick Claxton and you got Bam. So it's like you can just see with what we're just talking about that Capella and Vucevic, you want to use Fred, right? However, with Mbam's like a ridiculous defender, so it may not even matter. But at least with Claxton, for sure, you want to use Scotty. Because he's going to be able to bully ball his way down to the rim, while Claxton may have an easier time keeping up with Fred because of just the matchups.
But then also we look at who's guarding Fred too. So I might still use Fred against Claxton because if I get a switch, I just post up the guy that they switched on. This is the other position that this you present, like the way you present this. So if I got a guard Fred size guarding Fred, let's say Patty Mills is guarding Fred and they switch, I'm going to keep running that because they switch it.
Yeah. Now Yak gets a seal.
Yeah. I'm not ever going back to, I'm not using Scotty yet. You know what I mean? Like,
Or if the help side, they try and compensate for the fact that that happened, Patty Mills, Yakapurta, now there's a matchup somewhere else. See, this is the fun part of basketball.
Yeah. It's a
puzzle. These are fun.
Chess and checkers. Yeah. Like we just played a game. Like, we just switching out numbers and jerseys. Like, all right, this is what they got in there. All right, so we're going to do it this way. And that's what's become the main attack now with the game, right? We just like, that's why you don't see a lot of plays and a lot, they call it organized pickup a lot now but we got to have the type of guys that understand that don't just take that freedom as freedom to do whatever they want.
Yeah. All right. Final person we're going to talk about, and there's going to be more, you know, playoff conversations, but I thought this is just a really fun way to kind of get ahead of it. Conversation has gone exactly how I thought it would. It's been very fun. CJ Yak. All right. So what do you think his role is on the team? Maybe self-explanatory, but go ahead.
It's really him just doing what he's doing, you know, being solid, rim protecting, screening and rolling, communicating. Like, I don't really have any.
Yeah.
Right now, the way he's playing and what he's added, I can't really take. It's just that. It's just Yak being Yak. Like, and I think I can say it like that because there's proof that he understands who he is completely. You know what I mean? Like that's what his game even says to you. Like you watch him play and it's like, oh, he knows who he is. Cause he's not flashy. I'm not trying nothing. I'm doing this every night. I'm coming in, I'm screening, I'm rolling, I'm rim protecting, making the right extra pass. I'm moving the ball. I'm not trying nothing. It don't even matter what my matchup is. I'm doing what I do. Like, I don't care what you're talking about. And that's the one thing I can say about Yak that I give him. Now, I'm not saying that about everybody else. I'm just saying Yak's game, he simplified. Simplicity is genius. He simplified it to the point of that it. You can try to crack the code if you want to. I'm just letting you know it's no code. Like, bury you. Like, I'm just going to bury you. I'm going to protect the rim. I'm going to run. I'm going to roll. Like, I'm not changing. I look at Steven Adams like that. Like, I'm strong as an ox. This is what I do. Doesn't matter.
He's dependable.
Yeah, dependable. And Yak's got a better touch than Steven Adams. Yak's got the push shot.
Two things I want to ask you about Yak. What goes into being able to finish from 5 to 10 feet, for instance, with his push shot, with his floater? We've been seeing that trend happen a little bit now that teams are realizing, you know, Yak are a great offensive player around the rim. Once he gets ahead of steam towards the basket on that pick and roll, then it's a problem. But if you're able to, you know, add in another low man, or you're able to, you know, just clog the paint a little bit more, and now he has to be put in a position where he has to, you know, finish a little bit further away from the basket. And that's going to be, you know, while he's with the Toronto Raptors, I'm sure that's going to be what they're going to be asking him to do. Okay, can you hit, you know, a few shots further away from the basket, you know, nail area, whatever the case is, that's what he should be striving for. But right now, what could a player like him do with when he's working with, you know, Jamal McGlure, Big Cat, and so forth? What are you doing to drill that stuff to make sure that you're comfortable? That's what the Milwaukee Bucks did, right? When they faced off a little while ago, and he was challenged, especially with Brook Lopez, who's so imposing. DJ hit this shot now, and he struggled with it. No big deal, but I pose it to you.
It's the same. Be prepared. Just rep it out. You watch the film and see, like, this is what people are going to try to present to you.
But what's the rep, though?
No, this is what I'm saying. So, like, do we rep out what you do, obviously what you do well.
Yeah.
And so we're going to get some reps of the shot they're trying to make you take, and then we're going to get reps to show you that you don't have to take it. We're going to get reps to show you how to get to your shot in this position. So like, if we're going to say they decide they want to force you into an elbow jump shot, they know you catching it there and then they backing up, we're going to work on some moves that allow you to get back to your spot from there anyway. So you don't turn around and think, oh, I got to shoot it because I'm open. We're going to work on two dribbles to the right and a spin back. Or we're going to work on that push shot off the dribble just so you can take the space. Because the best thing an offensive player can do when a defense tries to give them space like that is take it. Don't settle. Like, attack it, because there's space.
Right.
Like, they're backing up.
We love space.
Exactly. Space is nice. So let's attack the space.
Yeah.
And make them and be the aggressor. But yeah, you just show all the opportunities to them in the rep. So like, all right, we're going to work on the shot a little bit, but I don't want you to settle for this shot if you're not comfortable. I just want to introduce it to you so you're not uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to lean on it too much when we haven't, because it takes time to add a shot to your game for real. But yeah. I got to show it to you. So if you do have to take one or two, it is, you know, you feel somewhat familiar. But let's work on how to get to what you want, even with them guarding you a certain way.
It's funny, actually, you're talking about this. I came to mind that maybe it was after that Bucks game. I'm not sure, but it came to a point with Nick Nurse and one of his media availabilities. He's like, you know, maybe we should get Yak finishing with his left a little bit more. And then the next day at practice, and you know, we only get in at a certain point in practice, but there Yak was, he's actually always one of the last people on the court. There he was working on his left-hand floaters, you know, spin, left-hand. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was interesting.
That's how it goes. That's how it gotta be.
Yeah.
That's the way, that's the approach. That's a pro.
Pro's gonna pro. Last thing I want to ask you about Yak is.
That's the best word from him. He's a pro.
He is a pro.
That's it.
Last thing I want to ask you, is there a difference between a big playing 35 minutes versus a guard or a forward? Because Yak doesn't really hit that point. And now that could be because the Raptors, you know, they want to give Precious a few minutes or whatever the case is. But he typically only plays like 33, 32. I don't think he's actually hit 35 with the Raptors yet this season. And playing playoffs, the Raptors are obviously much better when he's on the court. You get what I'm getting at. So is there a difference?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean,
you're not 7-footer, so I guess.
Yeah. I can't answer that. Like, I think it's just
the capacity that
he can take, how good his shape he's in. I think, like, there's more body to move around, so you would think there's more work. But, like, if he's worked on it, then it isn't. Like, because I could be out of shape at this size, too. You know what I mean? So I think it's just different. It's just, like, the matchups present everything that we're going to have to do. It'll be really hard for him if he's got to guard somebody smaller. You know what I mean? No matter how type of shape he's in, because he's got to do things he's not used to doing.
Yeah.
Or like, it'll be really hard for me if I'm in great shape to guard a bigger person, because I got to deal with the contact now. Like when you guarding these fours, when you playing out of position and they got a true four, like a big post up four, that's hard on you because you got to take that beating. You got to take those hits, the post-ups. The wrestling in the post is way different than me guarding a guy on a perimeter that I can't touch.
That's true. I was just looking it up. He has hit 35-plus twice with the Raptors. But, you know, within that, though, I've also heard the Raptors talk about, especially during crunch time, that they still like the idea of Scotty being at the five because of the spacing that it provides. Mm-hmm. And then also you have Gary, great shot maker on the court. That's the difference. Either you have Yak or you have Gary on the court. And so they're just going to kind of play it, you know, as they see fit.
Yeah.
Some of those play-in teams, certainly you could see a case where Yak maybe isn't on the court actually at the end, because you just need Gary shooting and a play-in game. Yeah, you're just going to go with whoever's flowing. If he's got 35 or something like that, Gary, you're going to say, I'm not taking him off the court right now.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. That's the coach's job. You play the best players and for that situation.
Sure. All right, CJ. This went a lot longer than I thought it would, but it's only because it's been a really fun conversation.
Hey, we got it done.
You know, yeah, definitely we did.
Strictly Hoops.
Yahoo Sports Canada. That's my man, Mass Fresco, on all your social platforms. You can follow me on Twitter at @Umuth_man on Twitter. I am on IG, but I don't post at all. It's just
I was about to say, even though you're running the Yahoo Sports, even though you're doing that. Yeah. Oh, my bad.
No one knows. My bad.
The feds is out. No. But you got to start posting on your page so we can retweet and repost your page.
Yes. There's a reason why I don't. But I mean, anyways, it's not a big deal.
It doesn't matter. It's still your face.
It's true. Yeah.
It's still
a picture of me from Barcelona, actually.
Still you.
IG.
If you on Yahoo, is you on your page, is you on my page, it's still you. You the one doing the work. It's doing, we doing what we supposed to be doing. That's all.
Hell yeah, man. Again, people, fun chat. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed it. This is going to be actually a fun listen as we go into the playoffs. Like, this is why I wanted to do it now, is that we're getting ahead of it. You can listen to this in a week. It's going to be relevant. Week after that, it's going to be relevant. This is like a playoff preview almost. So thank you, CJ. We are going to check in with you very soon.
Always great. Always love, man. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. We'll talk soon.
Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.